It's a nature documentary where nothing moves. The players are on stage, the set and props place perfectly, but all the action is implied, and all the movement expressed by static characters. Oh, and there's no sound either. But if you concentrate hard enough, you can almost hear it.
Well, this is the Wolf Diorama at the Bell Museum.
Don Luce is the curator of the Bell Museum of Natural History in Minneapolis. The wolves he's showing me once roamed at what is now Tatoosh State Park.
Shows three wolves, a pack of wolves, on the rocks overlooking Lake Superior. And Shovel Point, which is kind of a dramatic cliff of this igneous rock, is in the background. Waves are crashing on the shoreline. Seagulls are swooping down over the water, and there's a squall coming in off the lake.
The more you concentrate on the details, the more the drama unfolds.
On that cliff in the background, there's a deer peeking around the edge, looking this way. And so here is this kind of a story that's laid out in this diorama, that if you look hard enough, you can learn more and more.
But that's just the story in the diorama. To get the story of the diorama, we have to go back to the late 1920s. That's when James Ford Bell wanted a wolf diorama for his new museum. He was worried about declining wolf populations in the U.S. and wanted to show wolves in a more positive light, but the original museum site didn't have enough space for a new diorama. Bell's idea languished for several years before Federal Works Progress Administration money, a Depression-era government program, matched his contribution to build a new museum.
In many ways, this whole building would not be here except for this diorama.
Bell hunted down two artists to construct the diorama. An esteemed American Museum of Natural History diorama painter named Francis Lee Jaques, and Bell Museum preparator and taxidermist Walter Breckenridge. Jaques painted the background, a 30-foot-long, curved North Shore vista. Look at the diorama closely, and you'll see the jagged face of Shovel Point reflecting the muted blues and greens of the stormy waves. And even if you've never dipped a toe in Lake Superior, let alone in the winter, you can still feel the water's icy chill. Breckenridge skinned and mounted the wolves and prepared the foreground, a painstaking process. He cast plaster replicas of Lake Superior basalt rock from rubber molds and collected dried grasses and lichen. He also collected alder, cedar, and spruce trees. To preserve the evergreen, he pickled its branches in a vat.
A little formaldehyde, a little glycerin, a little alcohol, and so it would take the water out, basically, but still keep them somewhat flexible. It also would bleach out all color.
It also meant that every branch had to be repainted and reattached to the tree. It was a slow process. Work started on the diorama in 1940. It lasted until 1942. Larry Heaney works as curator of mammals at Chicago's Field Museum. He says it was well worth the wait.
If you stand there and take the time to appreciate it, there is an immense amount that you can learn very quickly that brings with it a great deal of enjoyment.
And if you do that, you may begin to appreciate the artistry of the Bell Museum's dioramas.
They are among the finest in existence. If there is such a thing as the equivalent of a Michelangelo or a Rembrandt in natural history museums, the Bell Museum and the Field Museum have them.
Oh, about those declining wolf populations? Before the Timberwolf became a beloved mascot for Minnesota sports, it was a reviled predator hunted to near extinction in the United States. And they didn't fare much better in artistic or scientific representations.
If you look at how wolves would have been depicted in museums at the time, they often are depicted as at a kill scene, being very vicious sort of view. Even the wolf diorama that's at the American Museum of Natural History, which depicts Minnesota, but it has this wolf kind of jumping out at you from the dark, okay? It's a very it's a very threatening sort of scene.
In the Bell's diorama, the wolves are depicted as hunters, but not as vicious predators. They're presented as a natural and important part of Minnesota's diverse ecosystem.
They're such an iconic species. You know, you see a diorama like that, and you, if it's done well, and that one was, it immediately gives you a sense of what those animals are all about and what the habitat is that they live in and why people can get so excited about them.
But while the action inside the dioramas might only be implied, it inspires activity in the students who visit. One game the Bell Museum's guides play with students involves the guide becoming a hunted deer while the children turn wolf pack figure out how to work together to cut off their prey, that is, the human guide.
One thing is, if you catch me, you need to just tag, not attack, okay?
The dioramas might not make noise, but if you happen to be in the museum at the right time, you don't have to imagine hearing the wolves. For KFAI, I'm Zan Holston.